This is Tom Bidette for Bedwetters Choice Hotels. Remember in childhood how the only result of wetting the bed was a reassuring smile and a pat on the head from Ma as she bundled up the sheets and trotted off to the laundry hamper? Well, that's the kind of old-time country care you can expect from the friendly and tolerant staff at Bedwetters Choice Hotels. We'll clean up after you with a special mixture of ammonia, industrial solvents, and of course a little old-fashioned elbow grease. Our patented stain removal techniques are guaranteed to remove all traces of the previous occupant's urine. And heck, if you smell any, your stay is free. So you can rest easy and urinate as you like. And remember, Bedwetters Choice Hotels aren't just for bedwetters. Well, even you regular folks with full control of your bladders are welcome. And if you don't want to make the effort to get up out of bed and walk to the toilet, well, you can just stay put. This is Tom Bidette for Bedwetters Choice Hotels saying, don't worry, we'll take care of it in the morning.
Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
What do you like to do in your spare time?
I like to pick up girls.
What kind of girls?
Oh, any kind, really.
Then what do you do?
Oh, I like to take them bowling. I get them those special kinds of shoes, you know the kind. Then I get them a lane and I let them bowl and bowl and bowl until they're really hot and sweaty. Then I say, I gotta go pee, but I don't. I just sneak out and go home.
That's it?
What else is there?
This station presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it. So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
It's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
And it's us.
It's us.
New name, same clowns.
I mean, I don't think I've ever been called a clown. It's a new day for everything.
Okay, the two musketeers.
Awesome. The Jew and the Jewess.
Good morning, everyone. It's Monday, October 5th, and it's a new week.
Yes, this week is flying already in October.
Already?
Yeah. 5 days in already.
It's already only Monday.
Maybe because I just paid my rent. It feels like the first.
Oh, I see.
Always late.
You're one of the late ones, huh?
Hey, but he knows that we're good tenants, so that's okay.
I see. You know, you're good for the money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually, you'll pay.
Eventually, I'll pay everybody back. I have IOUs everywhere.
Really? Join the club, right?
Yeah, but mine aren't charging interest, so that's good.
They are. That's good, huh?
The ones that are charging interest, I just ignore those.
Yeah? Tell them to go to hell.
I pretend those don't exist. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, except I burned my tongue because I got this new mug for the coffee, and apparently it keeps the coffee very hot.
Obviously.
So I'm like going to take a sip, and man, you know, it burned my tongue like crazy.
Can you sue someone? Isn't that what Jews do? They sue everybody. And McDonald's got sued for burning those people's tongue that time, right?
That's true. No, it was her crotch, actually.
Oh, well, yeah. See? Then
she burned her crotch.
Could have been worse, Sam. Yeah. That's what our show should be called. It could have been worse.
Yeah, that's true. Could have hurt my tool.
Tool. I feel like only 19-year-old boys say that. My tool.
Do they really? Well, Well, we've got the different names for it. So, yeah. You know, you gotta pick a different one every time.
Did you ever name yours?
No. I know people name a lot of things in their body.
Yeah,
right?
No, I know. That's why I'm curious.
I won't ask you what yours is.
No, I think only men name it. No, I think only men name it. No, it's like not an appendage. At all. It's an appendage that hangs.
Yeah, well, I know a few women others. Went through here who named their own coochie.
I don't know. It's just the way he said coochie. I felt like, remember, what was her name? Years ago, that woman that used to be on Love Boat all the time. And she was like,
Charo.
Oh, Charo, yeah. I know her from Love Boat. I totally just dated myself.
Yeah, my God. Who remembers the Love Boat?
I used to watch that in Fantasy Island. It was like, I couldn't wait for that night,
Yeah.
It was fun TV.
Had you been born then?
I watched in my mom's womb.
I thought maybe reruns or something.
No, I watched all that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not that young.
Yeah. No, you are. I mean, 35 is pretty
Whatever,
young.
You already stuck your foot in your mouth. Yeah. As he looked at me up and down.
Yeah.
You're not
35
young.
Is young.
Yeah, young. I mean, it's young for a 40-year-old, old to a 20-year-old. I remember, though, when I was 20 and people would be in their 30s, and I was like, oof, God, they're old. And now that I'm there, I'm just like, it's not that old, okay?
I know, yeah.
But, I mean,
it's all relative, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, my body feels the age, but my mind, I'm still like, I'm still a sprout 18-year-old.
That's what's important, is the mind,
That's
you know?
That's what I'm thinking.
Body will do its job.
Fall to the floor. This weather is beautiful.
Yeah, it's gotten really chilly.
Oh, it's my favorite time of year. It makes me feel really invigorated. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I want to go exercise. I want to go do things. And I don't.
You don't do them. But you feel
I feel it inside. Inside, I'm like running. I'm doing marathons. I'm walking through Central Park. There's all these things going on in my head. But I'm really staring at my computer in my room.
So what is it with you missing New York over the weekend?
I've always missed New York, though. But the fall always reminds me of New York because it was my favorite season.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I was in a movie. When I would walk through the crisp leaves,
That's
I'd be
true.
Crunching on them,
Yeah.
And since I always have a camera that follows me, in my mind. There's always me and this love story of walking through the park. And when it turns crisp, it just reminds me of that. And
Yeah.
But then I turn to the side and it's just me and my self-help books.
Yeah. I know. I like New York in the winter, actually, around the holidays.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's such a festive place,
Right between Halloween and Thanksgiving, because then they decorate all the windows, and it's such a romantic city at that time of year, I mean, it's romantic to me all times of year. People are always like, oh, it stinks in New York, and I honestly have never smelt it ever, and that's not a lie. People are like, you smell the subways and the sewers. I'm like, not me.
Yeah.
I just smell heaven.
Yeah.
And hot dogs.
I just smell
and flowers and pizza.
Flowers and butterflies.
You're learning about me very quickly.
Oh, you're hopeless.
I did meet a guy on the elevator up here.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I know, but I think...
But that's a short ride.
It was a very short ride, but I said a lot. Surprise. I think I scared him a little bit, though.
Did you?
Well, because I'm so caffeinated, and he was like, good morning. I'm like, hi! And he just looked at me, and I'm like, I have a little caffeine in me.
Yeah.
And he was like, I love caffeine. And I said, well, there's 4 shots in here. He's like, not that much. I don't know if he was gay, though, because he was dressed really well.
Oh,
but he was going up to the penthouse.
I see.
So we just talked a bit on the elevator.
I see.
Cute, though.
Yeah? He was cute?
Uh-huh. He was asking what we do.
Well, you can hook up with him and
we'll
stuff.
We'll see. Maybe I'll meet him tomorrow at the elevator. Yeah. Same time, same place. He'll be my elevator boyfriend.
Yeah. But you really have to re-examine this scaring him away type of a thing. That may be your answer.
See? Why do I got to look backwards? I'm only looking forwards. I'm going to pretend that didn't happen.
I see.
Denial.
No, you got to find someone who can accept you the way you are. And I'm sure there's a lot like that,
Yeah.
But then you're going to find, you're going to find an introvert type of a guy, right? And he would love you because you're out there and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he'll hate you for it.
I know. Thank you, Sam.
No, that's the way it always happens.
No, it's true, because they find it attractive because you're so opposite of them. And then after a while, they're like, shut up. Or just be like me,
Yeah, or they get jealous and stuff, when you start talking to people.
Oh, social butterfly.
Yeah.
That's how my ex-fiance was.
Really?
Yeah, he loved that about me. And it's true. And then he hated it because it suddenly he was my shadow, and it was the Sherry show.
Yeah.
But, at least when I meet people now, I'm like, just so you know, know, it's going to be the Sherry show.
Yeah. Well, eventually, it's already Sam and Sherry. It moved from Sam to Sam and Sherry, then it'll be Sherry in the morning.
It was very funny. My friend goes, when they saw that, they're like, that's awesome, Sherry. Congratulations. I'm like, oh, thank you. And they're like, I guess you didn't tell them that it's supposed to be Sherry and Sam. I said, well, come on, one step at a time.
That's the next step, yeah. Sherry and Sam, and then Sam's at the door.
No, you could still be the producer.
I see, okay. I see the master plan here.
There is no master plan. I mean, there's, you know, there's just about living in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no. I'm really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what the hell? We'll call it Sherry in the morning. I don't care.
Sherry and her support staff in the morning.
Sherry and friends.
Oh, okay. So what's going on with your car?
My car is, it's still in the yard.
Whose yard?
Well,
your backyard?
The tow company's yard.
Okay.
Yeah. And today they're going to take it to a body shop.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I wish we could take our bodies to a body shop.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could. I guess it would be the plastic surgeon, right?
Yeah, there
okay.
you go.
But can you, like, have someone... Oh, never mind. I'm thinking of ways to improve my body and not have to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, it's simpler just to go work out.
Is that simpler, or is it simpler just to get cut open and have them do
it for
know. You?
I don't know. See. Are you comfortable talking about your weight?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good.
I think... I mean, I've been dealing with it since I was young.
Yeah.
I wasn't... always overweight.
Yeah.
I was actually, I think I talked about it prior, like I was sexually molested when I was 7 years old.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, woohoo!
Yeah, well, no. I don't know if I want to go there, but I know
well, I
many...
talk about truth.
Yeah. But I know that many women that have weight problems were molested.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
why do you think that is?
Oh, I know why. Because people deal with it in different ways. I mean, some people take on other addictions. I think for me personally, it was like a protection almost. You know what I mean? Like,
so you won't be attractive or something?
Yeah, I think that I didn't know it at the time, but I think that I just like filled like that void. And also, it's about abuse. It's about continuing that cycle, you know, of like someone else abused you.
I see.
And then there's like a guilt that's involved somehow.
Right.
And you continue to abuse yourself, you know, in different ways, whether it's through drugs or whether it's through alcohol or food.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you keep treating yourself as a victim and then still feeling bad for yourself. You know what I mean? So it's a continuous cycle.
I know.
As well as not being, you know, wanting to keep your distance from men. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know. It's sort of like, to protect yourself and stuff and maybe become not attractive so people won't do that again to you. Because you said you feel guilty. Maybe you caused it.
Right. But the funny thing is, but you also have a lot of women that act out sexually, which I did that as well when I was younger. So then you think, well, if you want to keep your distance from men, why are you, you know, sexually acting out? And I think that's where the other part comes in is because... you're treating yourself in a certain way and throwing your body out there for the cycle for men to, you know, only use you for that. So then you can continually being that victim in your head over and over and over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've done a lot of self-thinking.
I'm sure you've done a lot of therapy there.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, what happened to me, like I think the reason why I went on so long is because I put the guy in jail. Like I was 7 years old and I knew that it was wrong. I mean, but there's still, you know, so I went to court and did the whole thing, you know, and actually found out that the guy had done it to a lot of other girls.
Wow.
So at that young age, like my family and the cops and everybody was like, you're a hero. You're such a smart girl. No girl's ever come forward, blah, 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 blah. So my whole entire life, I never actually dealt with it because I kept having to be the strong woman. Like, yes, I saved people. I dealt with it. I'm smart. Like, it didn't affect me. You know what I mean?
Right.
But what it ended up doing was affecting me in weight and all that stuff. But
yeah.
I've lost a lot of weight. I used to be a lot heavier. So,
really?
Yeah, I'm continually, like, taking care of myself and getting healthier.
Yeah.
So, and that's how, you know, so it just showed itself on that and that way. And I think that's another reason why, like, unhealthy relationships I've had and, you know,
probably,
haven't been able to.
Yeah.
But I'm at the place now where, like, even, I mean, do I think my body's perfect? No. And do I still want to work on it? Yeah. But it's more for health reasons than it's about, like, what somebody else thinks of me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, every day I grow and I'm in a really good place right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I think that's where the positivity and all that stuff comes in because even at that young age, like, I mean, the guy threatened my family for telling, like, he was going to kill everybody. I mean, it was, like, a long story, and it was a stranger. There was no one in my family or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But with that going on, like, I still knew, like, that everything, even in that moment when it was happening, I still, like, saw this light and knew all this stuff was going to be okay and that I was going to help people later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
I know. And then here I sit with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
But I don't feel, like, bad about it. Like, people, like, think that it's so, I mean, I've gone and talked to young girls about it and, try to, you know, help. And I mean, things happen to you and you've got to do something about it. And for me, it was about sharing my story and, you know, helping whoever right. and being honest about it, you know.
So you think you reach for food as solace and stuff?
Absolutely.
To calm you, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's an emotional thing for sure. Like, right. 'cause when I'm busy and when I'm doing stuff and I'm happy and I'm not, you know, I don't even think about food, you know. But the moment that, you know, emotions start to come up or I'm feeling alone or whatever, that's when, like, I reach for food and I can see myself, like, in that moment, like, step outside myself, like, why are you doing this, you know? And I used to watch myself purposely go and get the food, knowing full well that I wasn't hungry, knowing that I was hurting myself.
Yeah.
Like, I would open the fridge and be like, you don't need to be there, Sherry. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But,
And it's hard with food because it's something that's around you all the time,
exactly.
right? You have to eat.
Like alcoholics, you know, like you don't have to be in a bar, but, right. you know, you have to eat.
Right.
And, but most of my friends will tell you that are around me, they're like, you don't even eat that much. Mm. So not only do I have like an eating thing, but also my body, like I'm not going to blame it, oh, with my metabolism. I mean, I used to eat Whoppers. Let's not, like, let's get the story straight here. I mean, but I don't eat more than the average person. Like it just right. like, it just wants to hold on. Like
really?
Every part of me, totally.
Yeah.
My friends that go out, they're like, you don't even eat a lot. I'm like, I know. But if I eat one little thing, it just like attaches to me.
Yeah.
Food loves me.
It does, huh?
I think it's a law of attraction. I love it. It loves me. But you know what has happened? The moment that I stopped thinking about food and being stressed out about it and worrying about it is the moment that I started losing weight.
Really?
Yeah, because you put so much like energy into things and like, I'm so unhealthy. I'm so overweight. I have to diet. I have to. And then like, the more like, you push things away, like the more it comes to you. You know what
right,
I mean? Like
right.
it's the attraction thing. And as soon as I stopped worrying about it and just believed in my mind that I was healthy, I started losing weight.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep.
pretty cool.
Yep.
Now, I mean, do you think that stands in the way of you meeting guys and stuff like that? Because, I mean, in L.A., everybody's so superficial. You
yes.
know, they've got to have the model type. And,
yes.
And
yes.
all that
yes
stuff.
And no. Like,
yeah.
initially, yes. But then once a man gets to know me, like, I said, I've had really good-looking men, like, better than good-looking,
right.
find themselves, after a while, being strangely attracted to me, like, not understanding, like, telling me that they think I'm beautiful, but they've never dated my type. But then, so I can get past a certain point, but then there's the insecurity of me and my own body and, like, being able to be comfortable, like, intimately with them.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Yes.
So that falls on me, but that's what I'm getting more and more used to, and I think being by myself and single is being is helping with that.
It is, yeah.
You know, because...
Yeah.
I have to learn to be by myself with red tube.
Or sitting on your stoop and watching on the Hollywood Bowl.
Are you quiet?
The Hollywood sign.
Funny, Sam. Funny. But this town is super hard. This town is
yeah.
really hard because, I mean, it's funny, like, on... In other states, people are like, you're not even overweight, or you know, you're not that big. But in this town, like, I'm an elephant.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, in middle America, I'm average size, you know?
Yeah.
Like, 12, 14 is average size for American
really?
Women these days. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, that's when Marilyn Monroe was. So I like to consider myself
Marilyn
hard.
Monroe was 12, 14?
She was 14, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
How's that possible?
I don't know. I haven't asked her. But it is. It is average size for America.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I was on that silly show.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we'll never know what the hell
yes,
this show
you will.
Is.
I mean, I could talk about the experience. I just don't want to say the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was in a relationship with someone in the same situation. That's why I understand so
mm-hmm.
much about it, about being overweight and
yeah.
stuff. And it's a constant struggle.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, know. But it's a struggle as much as you make it a struggle.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's all like about your mindset and
yeah.
stuff and really... Like I said, as soon as I stop worrying about it, I just feel and confidence is such like a huge factor.
Yeah.
Because after I lost weight, like a lot of weight, I remember being in my restaurant and waiting tables and men looking at me differently for the first time. Like I felt like they were actually looking at me as opposed to through me. But and so I was just like, fuck men, like in my head. Like I'm still the same girl inside that I was before that you didn't give me the time of day, you know? And
right,
I got really upset.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then I realized I'm also looking at myself differently. Like, I'm walking around with my head in the air now as opposed to, like, looking with my eyes on the ground. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm feeling better about myself. So I can try to blame other people as much as possible, but the responsibility falls on me at the end of the day.
Right.
I was the one that wasn't putting out, like, this great, you know,
yeah.
look at me, I'm hot kind
yeah.
of thing, you know?
I see.
So.
Okay, but your taste in men is, what, slim? You like him slim and athletic?
I like him dirty and aggressive.
Yeah. So the looks don't matter.
No,
that
I mean, looks, okay, let me tell you about looks. Looks is about it's a chemistry thing. Solely, because I have been attracted to average-looking men, you know, but it's just a, like a vibe that they give off, you know. Yeah. But initially, I mean, the looks-wise, like I like a bad boy type. I like some tattoos, and I'm not into blondes.
No,
like at all.
Really?
No, I'm. But I think it's because I grew up in Miami, and so like my first taste of men was, you know, exotic-looking. Not exotic, but like Hispanic, you know, dark hair and. I mean, I guess my dream man would be dark hair, light eyes, 6 foot something, not fat. That was another thing I had to get used to. Was I was like, Sherry, you want men to accept you for you, like all your body. But then, you know, I'd see an overweight guy and I'd be like,
Well, that's why I was asking.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean I wouldn't date him, though. Like, if he had the energy and the stuff that, you know, and he made me laugh. Like, laughter is so important to me.
Yeah.
Like, you can just win me over with humor and talent. Like, if you can sing, like, I'm just like, gaga. Clean up on aisle 11, there's a puddle on the floor.
Take me, abuse me.
See, and that's another thing for men. Like, okay, let me just say this. I've been with men, obviously, and when they know, like, the dirty side of me and what I like, and then they get to know me more and they know that I'm abused, like, it suddenly weirds them out to put those two things together. And I'm like, no. They don't go hand in hand, you know, because I had a guy who was so in love with me, my ex, and he felt bad about doing certain things because of what happened to me. And I'm like, no, I don't even think about that. You stop thinking about it. Like, I just, you know, that's why when people are like, oh, you like it because you like to be humiliated. I've had to think about that and been like, is that why I have the sexual taste that I have, you know, and things that I like? But it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Okay. But you still like to be humiliated.
It's not humiliated. I don't call it humiliated. It's just called a fetish. I like what I like, where I like it. Okay.
Fetish. So what's the fetish now?
I gotta repeat it again.
Okay, you don't have
day.
To. No,
whatever on my face. Okay, I just didn't want to say the word.
That's true. Okay. No, I thought maybe you're into like bondage and discipline.
No. I just have, you know, a semen fetish.
A semen fetish. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing.
Wow.
It's hot though.
Yeah, I think again, it's just about the man being turned on, you know, and. Yeah. But I've been with men who don't like it, and they feel like they're like, I can't do that to a woman. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So don't, loser. I know. Don't be a man. Be a pussy. Be a wuss. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
Go. Let's fuck missionary style. Just kidding. No, I think, though, I really like the song that I was listening to this morning. There's this Michael Bublé song, and it's called I Just Haven't Met You Yet. Mm-hmm. And it's like so my theme song, because it's about like having the perfect love, although I know there's no such thing as perfect, but it's perfect in my own eyes. And it's about giving more than what you get, you know, because eventually it all gets returned. But it's just this fairy tale. I'm such like this two-sided woman. Like, I'm so traditional and old-fashioned. Like, I want the first date and I want the whole courting thing, you know, but then I want you to come on my face at the end. But that's after some time. I just mean, like, so I think personally I'm the perfect package.
Absolutely.
You know, I meet men's family and they love me. They just don't need to know what happens behind closed doors.
Exactly.
Between him and I.
And they don't need to picture you with cum on your face either. It's not necessary.
Exactly. It's very unnecessary, actually. I don't even like to sometimes picture myself like that.
Yeah.
Although a guy wants to take pictures once.
Yeah?
Yeah, in black and white photos. He was like, I think it'd be really artistic. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Artistic all over the internet.
Yeah, there you go. Are there any nude pictures of you anymore?
No, God, good. No. I'm smart enough. What I was worried about, though, is I used to, you know, do a lot of internet sex, meaning like, you know, emails and things like that.
Right.
And when I went on the reality show, they have to check into all your background. And I started thinking, oh my God, they're like, is there anything out there that could be? And I'm like thinking about everything. I was like, nude pictures? No. Cause thank God I wasn't comfortable with my body. There's no telling what I would have put out there. So I was like, no, definitely not that. But I started thinking about all these people that are going to come forward and be like, I have this email. Because this guy from MySpace from like 2 years ago that I haven't talked to in forever, he emailed me like 6 months ago and said, I still think about this that you said, and sent me the forward. And I'm just like, oh my God, he's been saving that for 2 years?
Oh my God, you got to be careful.
I know. Well, now I stopped.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness.
I know. I learn as I go on, you know? I learn my lessons, thank God. Otherwise, I'd be an idiot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you're a very complex person. I mean, not in a negative way, you know? It's just got to peel you...
My layers.
Yeah. Peel the layers slowly. No. I mean, I'm realizing I'm learning everything about you from Facebook. I'm not learning anything here.
But you didn't ask the right question.
Yeah, well, I learned that you have at least one tattoo, right?
Two.
You have two tattoos?
Two tattoos, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you got that question wrong.
Yeah.
I sent Sam like the Get to Know Sherry Facebook quiz. He failed.
Yeah. Oh, you got to see that, right?
It says, it posts like their answers and stuff. Like, do you want to see their answers? And I'm like, yes, I do.
I fucked up big time, didn't I? Well, I got three out of ten.
Yeah, the ones that I actually said on air. I was like, okay, well, at least you remember that one. Although you didn't remember... You didn't remember the name, though, like of what name I wanted to be named, which was Taylor, which is my alter ego name, my phone sex
That's
name, my
right.
stripper name. You
That's
didn't choose
right.
that one.
Yeah. I don't know why I chose Lauren or something.
Yeah. Because it's probably like what you want me to be named.
So it's Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was like the phone sex name. And that's like, you know, when I want to. I just like that name. It's
okay.
hot.
Well,
it's pretty sexy.
So you should go by Sherry Taylor.
But then my initials would be SAT. Although now my initials are SAG.
Yeah.
And then backwards.
That much better.
And then backwards GAS. So really, I had nowhere to go from there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I know I have a lot of, there are a lot of different layers to me, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm never one to be a mystery, though. Like, I always, people ask me questions and I'll always be honest and I'll always be forward about everything. Like, it's never a guessing game with me, and maybe that's not very exciting.
Yeah. Well, definitely you're not going to be shallow, you know, that's for sure, you know.
No.
Is this the guy? You think that's the guest?
I don't know. I mean, he waved.
Yeah.
Could just be a fan. I heard it's a Sherry and Sam show now. I mean, Sam and Sherry. That
Freudian.
Was a mistake, by the
Freudian.
Way. Totally Freudian.
Yeah.
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah. It's probably the guest, you know. I mean, I can't imagine who else it would be. So he was supposed to be here at 10, but I guess he got here a little early.
He was excited.
Yeah.
I'd be excited to hang out with us.
Yeah, so for sure. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
We'll be right back. Shitty Talk Radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Sherry in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, and we're saving the world with a lot of dirty talk.
Come on, we mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
We got to keep people entertained, and then I get to throw in my love in between sex talk.
Yeah, so apparently the man that did walk in here is our guest.
Apparently.
And this is Niels Lozauer. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, folks.
You're going to have to get closer to the mic so we can hear you well.
Okay.
There you go.
Perfect.
There you go. Well, welcome to you. You were on our show last week on the phone, and you released a book on Motley Crue, a photo, what do you call it, like a picture book, a photo album?
You know, that's a good question. I just call it a book. It's a Motley Crue photo book.
Yeah.
There
you go.
It's a party book.
So it's a photo book. Okay. So I wasn't far off. So so Neil published this book, and it's all incredible pictures of Motley Crue either posing or in concert. And so have you always been their fan?
I don't know if I'm a fan or not. I'm a fan of the guys personally. Musically, I listen to them when they're on the radio, but, you know, I've always been a fan of their genre of music and their look and their attitude and so on and so forth.
Right. That's cool. So let's talk a little bit about you. I mean, are you originally from L.A.?
Born and raised, lived on the other side of the hill all my life.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why you had such an exciting life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fairfax High School. And,
yeah.
There's a lot of criminals that go to that school.
Now, well, you know what? Slash went there, and I think Flea and Anthony from the Red Hot Chili Peppers went there. So there's a lot of good product coming out of there.
I used to drive by there a lot, and there was always cops there.
Yeah. I think there's a cop car that stays there every single day. I think they just have an empty car and sort of try to scare people.
Got it.
Now, that's a very Jewish area, right?
Correct.
Did you have to deal with a lot of Jews in school?
You know what? When I went there...
You didn't have to deal with them.
When I went
there...
You
know them, throwing matzo balls at you.
Yeah, right. I got hit in the eye with a matzo ball. Yeah. So, no, it was pretty predominantly Jewish neighborhood around there. I mean,
right.
I was born Jewish and had a bar mitzvah and all that fun stuff. So.
Really?
Yeah, you wouldn't know by looking at me.
No,
huh?
So we got three Jews around the table.
Oh,
here.
My God.
So. Amazing. Where are the other two?
Yeah. We're alienating all the Christians and Muslims that are listening to the station.
Don't forget the Buddhists.
Oh, you got a Buddhist on your arm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tattooed.
I like the Buddhist ways in my older years.
Really? I do as well.
Good.
Oh, really?
Well. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
You're getting weirder every day.
I mean, but I take a little bits from everything. You know what I mean? And I make up my own Sherry.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So we'll have a Sherry religion.
That's
what I'm hoping for. I'm changing the world. Where are my followers? My zombies, as my friends call them.
She'll stop nothing, you know, of being Jesus Christ, you know?
Oh. Someone's got to be. The coming of on Sherry.
You guys are in a good mood for Monday morning.
Yeah, there you go.
Every day. Every day.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, and I'm sure you traveled outside the L.A. and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. I've probably forgotten more places that I've been to than I remember, but I always remember places like Texas, and that's always a fun place to go hang.
Yeah. Texas is cool. Have you been to Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah? And you don't think it's cool?
It was the longest drive of my life. I was driving from Florida out here, and I remember going through Texas and like seeing a sign that was like, El Paso, 750,000 miles. And I was just like, oh, my God, I've already gone through like 20 hours of Texas. It never ended.
Yeah, you could drive through Texas and just drive and drive. It's all flat and everything, no hills or
but
whatever.
I spent like 6 weeks in Austin when we were opening up a restaurant, and I was training them over there. And everyone's like, Austin's the best city in the country. And so I had all these high expectations. And when I got there, they had just had the flood. Yeah. And so there was just black bugs all over the place. And it was hot as shit. And then I just kept going, find the beauty in it, find the beauty in it. And I'm like, I'll find the beauty in my hotel room.
Yeah, they have bugs in Texas. I've never even seen anything close to the bugs in Texas.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, it's crazy out there and
but
hot.
I think Austin is overrated, though. You know,
I mean, thought so, too.
I went there last year for a convention, and I thought, wow, you know, I'm in Austin,
music,
you know, the music,
and,
the live music
Sixth
and stuff.
Sixth Street.
And there was nobody on the streets. I mean, it was dead.
Well, yeah, you got to go to Sixth Street. That's where all the music is.
Yeah, that's where I was.
There. I did, and I was like a bunch of kids, like, getting drunk. I felt like I was in college town.
Yeah.
That's a fun thing to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't bad. I just, people had built it up so much, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was, I still was still like New York.
Have you been abroad at all?
Been where?
Abroad, like overseas.
I've been to Japan about 12 times.
Wow.
And really? Thailand about 5 times.
I
want
to go to Thailand.
Thailand's
What's the attraction to Japan?
Well, after going to Thailand, forget Japan. You know,
yeah.
you don't want to go to Japan. But yeah. you better bring your plutonium American Express card if you go to Japan, because everything will cost you an arm and a leg.
So yeah, wow.
It's expensive. Whereas if you go to Thailand, you can't spend money if you try.
I mean,
you come home with money. I mean, the hotels are cheap. The taxi's cheap. The food's cheap. Everything's cheap.
Right.
Was Japan all for the touring and stuff? Is that
mainly
music?
That was mostly, I went there with different rock bands throughout the years. You know, they always played Japan. It's like Beatlemania over there. Whatever band you go with, whether it's Rat or Black Crows or Night Ranger.
Yeah. Is that seriously like the most overcrowded place ever? Like when I think of it, I think of just like walking, you know, like shoulder to shoulder with people.
I don't know. I think New York's the most overcrowded place ever.
Oh, New York's perfect.
Oh, okay.
New York is not that bad. I mean, you go to other places in the world, you know, like I think China and India are very dense. You know?
Maybe I was thinking of China one. Yeah. Japan.
Well, we all make that
planet
mistake,
eyes.
Right? Yeah.
But Thailand is a place you don't want to take anybody with you, right? You go there on your
spiritual
own when you're
thing.
A man.
Well,
spiritual, my ass. The sex.
Right when you said man, I was like, oh, he's going the sex route.
Yeah,
I'm going the spiritual route.
Well, put it this way: if you're married, you don't want to go to Thailand.
No,
because you're
gonna
not want to be married when you come back there. I think Thailand's got the most beautiful girls in the whole world.
Really?
Period. Oh yeah, they're great.
Yeah. I mean. Do they really love sex, or do they just pretend for the tourists?
Why are you going to ruin it? And do you care?
you know what? All the girls I was with, they all loved having sex, you know.
Because
you were paying them.
Not really. You can go to massage parlors. I actually went to the legitimate massage parlors when I was there.
They have those?
Oh, yeah. It was really expensive.
Real-time massages, man.
Yeah, it was really expensive. The cheapest one there for an hour was $3.
Really?
Wow.
And if you wanted to splurge and get the oil massage, that was a whole whopping $5 an hour. And I'll tell you something. They have these little girls there, and they massage you. And you could. I was there with my friend. We call him Serpent. He's about 6'5". And we had this girl that was maybe 4'5" working him out. And he was like,
let me see what's happened.
He was like, ow, ow, not so hard. Oh, my neck, ow. I'm like, oh, my God.
Just fantastic. I know, it sounds like heaven for men there.
It is heaven for men there, trust me.
And women, they're just there for spiritual reasons.
There you go.
I didn't see too many white women there from United States, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's because you're busy looking at all the Thai women.
Yeah.
Well, I know you weren't busy looking at the Thai men. So have you been there?
No, never. I've always wanted to go.
That's more of a guy's place.
Yeah.
Okay.
It definitely is.
Trust me.
You can say that about any place.
You need to go to the Greek Isles and stuff where all
I totally want to go to the Greek Isles.
Fantastic men are. Right?
Yeah, she wants to get her butt pitched every 2 inches when she walks down the street.
Yeah,
I'm
going.
That's what they do in Greece.
And Italy. And Italy. Those are my two favorite countries. Yeah. Although I haven't been to Greece yet, but I want to.
Yeah. I'd like to go to Greece too. Looks really, really pretty on the photos.
Yeah, the turquoise waters and the white architecture looks amazing.
Yeah.
And the parties, the nonstop parties, and the Greek men.
I have those everywhere.
You know, my father was born in Greece.
Really?
Yeah.
So
I look a little Greek? No? No. I thought, well, maybe she'd find me attractive if I look Greek.
I do find you attractive.
No,
I just
kidding.
Cut you off because you're married.
Okay.
No, it's because I'm old.
I told you I kissed a 52-year-old.
Yeah.
You're not there yet.
Well, I'm older than that.
Yeah. Well, I kissed him.
Is that all you did?
Yeah, it's because he left the next day, but I had a lot of phone sex.
Okay, good. Well, sounds like you work a little slow.
He's just really slow because he was old.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
So you went to Fairfax High School. What did you do after high school?
Basically became a rock and roll photographer.
Really?
I mean,
so you already knew that's what you wanted to do.
Well, I never sort of planned on doing this to make money. I mean, originally most, I think, rock and roll photographers that start off like me. You go to a concert and you're like, hey, let's bring a camera because you want to shoot photos of your idols and, you know, come home and put them on the walls in your bedroom like most normal kids do. So that's what I did. I was going to the Rolling Stones concert and the Who concerts and Led Zeppelin concerts and Eric Clapton, Derek and the Dominoes concert. And back then you could just bring your camera into the venue. So I'd bring my camera in, and we used to make these phony backstage passes, and we'd show them to the ushers like at the Santa Monica Civic or even at the Forum. And, you know, they didn't have the big bouncers back then, so you show them these phony backstage passes, and they'd be like, okay, well, you could just sit here in the front row in the aisle the whole night and do whatever you want. Okay, we can do that. And, you know, when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, that was like gaga goo goo.
Yeah.
So. When did you get into photography?
I probably started photography in about 68, 69, roughly. I mean, you know, I was shooting photos, like just walking down the street, speaking of the Jewish neighborhood. I mean, before I was making any money shooting, you know, rock bands, I would like just take my camera, go walking down Fairfax Boulevard and shoot the old Hasidic Jewish people with the payas and stuff. Because I just thought those people looked like, you know, the land that time forgot.
Yeah, they definitely look like that.
They still do when I see them. As a matter of fact, I always have in the back of my mind that I want to start going out on Saturday and Sunday and just go on La Brea now in Fairfax and shoot candid photos of all the Hasidic Jews and sort of do a little book or something. But Saturday and Sunday comes and I'm usually restoring cars or motorcycles or something like that.
Yeah. Plus, they'd hate you to do it on the Sabbath, you know?
Yeah, they would.
They would eat you up alive.
I got a hunch they'd hate anything I do, period. Anything. So.
Well, you definitely couldn't be buried in a Jewish cemetery with your tattoos.
No, I guess I can.
Damn it.
I want to get cremated anyway.
Okay.
I don't need to be in the ground with a whole bunch of bugs.
I used to say that as a kid.
Yeah.
Then I realize you're dead.
Do you want to be cremated?
I want to be in a mausoleum so the world can worship me.
Open casket,
huh? No. I haven't really thought that much about how I want to be buried.
Yeah.
I used to think not in the ground because the same reason, like bugs, and then I was like, that's just silly.
Yeah.
You're dead.
It's like, who cares?
Yeah, no, I don't think I want to be cremated, though.
Yeah.
Because then I don't know where I'd want to be sprinkled.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, here some Jews actually use, like, caskets and stuff. But, you know, in Judaism, you're not supposed to use any caskets at all. You just wrap the body in a sheet and you bury it.
I thought that was a mummy.
No, that's not a mummy.
Well, I haven't been to any Jewish funerals like that, that's for sure.
Yeah. But, no, because they feel that you're supposed to go back into the ground, you know, so.
The way you came in.
Yeah, exactly. So. But that's my little Jewish lesson for today.
Thank you. Well, I know when my grandmother died, they had to amputate her leg, and because of diabetes, like before she died, not after she died.
Yeah, I'm like.
And it was like there was this big freak-out session because you're supposed to, you know, go out, you know, with all your body parts and everything, and they had like sent her leg away and it got like cremated or something like that.
Wow.
And so there was this big controversy and I was like, there's my family trying to sue.
Someone made a mistake.
Yeah.
Huh?
And like said, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was like this big thing. I was like, she'll be fine. She won't need her leg in heaven. Okay.
She won't know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you grew up here in the 60s, right? I mean, that was like your
I don't know. I still don't know if I've even grown up yet. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. So.
That's awesome.
I know. You seem like someone who has a lot of fun. You kind of talk like a surfer. Are you a surfer?
Not at all.
No, huh? No. But it's just the L.A.
My L.A.
It's
lingo.
Cool. It's from smoking so much.
I was going to say smoking and drinking.
Yeah.
It just seems like
smoking
a party
funny
lifestyle.
Weed, yeah.
I haven't done that much lately. I drank a lot, though.
Yeah.
Did pretty good last night.
Did you really?
And you showed up early this morning.
Yeah. Oh, I always get up in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
Really?
I try to wake up every day.
Yeah, that means you drink a lot. So
yeah, I was
going
to say, well, you learn that after drinking. Either you're like, okay, I'm an alcoholic and I have to quit, or else I have to deal with my alcoholism and be a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah. Like my buddy David Lee Roth used to say, I used to have a drug problem, now I can afford it. So,
yeah.
And I used to have a drinking problem, now I can afford it. So.
Yeah. It's actually, yeah, you talk a lot like him. I mean, you sound like him a lot.
Did somebody tell you that? Well, you know, me and Brother Dave, we spent a lot of time together. His birthday is actually October 10th, and mine's October 19th. So we got a lot in common. He's Libra, I'm Libra.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him for about 2.5 years. So.
Really? But you've known him for a long time?
Since 78.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
More than half
of
my life.
How did you meet him?
Heard the first Van Halen record one day when I was working in an office with some other photographers. I'm like, oh my God, that's incredible. Heard the, you know, the air raid siren from Running with the Devil, and then I heard Michael Anthony, bomb, bomb, and then it broke in. Then I heard Dave's voice. I'm like, this guy sounds different than every other singer. This guy's rough, nasty, rude, crude. You know, I'm like, I want to work with this band. And then right after Running with the Devil, it broke into Eruption, and then You Really Got Me, and I heard Eddie play guitar, and no one played guitar like Eddie up to that point.
That's true, huh?
I mean, he's got a lot of copiers and a lot of imitators, but no one quite plays like Ed does.
So you'd put him ahead of, like, Clapton and Jimi Hendrix and them?
Well, they're all different. I mean, Jimi Hendrix, oh my God, what an innovator. I mean, in his day, no one played like Jimi Hendrix.
Right.
You know, the first concert I ever saw in my life was Cream at the Santa Monica Civic with Eric Clapton. And, you know, Eric was great, but, you know, my tastes changed. I mean, my favorite guitarist is probably Richie Blackmore from Deep Purple.
Yeah.
I
mean, this
love
guy
Richie.
Was amazing.
You know, so.
Sherry's like, who the fuck is Deep Purple?
I'm like, let's talk about Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a barf pail?
Come on, Smoke on the Water. You don't know that?
Who knows that?
You don't know that song?
Well, okay, maybe if I heard it.
Da, 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 da,
it's the most famous riff ever.
Maybe. Well, that sounds familiar.
Wake up.
I'm sure I've heard it. I'm not very good at name that tune. My friends won't play with me.
Yeah, probably if we sing it, you're even worse. So.
I'm sure I've heard it. Yeah. Leave me alone. Back to you.
But he's a great guitar player, yeah. Definitely. So, but Eddie sort of like brought, like, took it to a whole new level, right?
Yeah, he did. I mean, like I said, I don't think anybody was playing like Eddie did. He was doing the tapping on the neck and just, you know, playing. I mean, when Van Halen broke on the scene, you got to remember it was the disco day, so it was Saturday
That's
Night
true.
Fever.
Late and, 70s.
Yeah, and the Bee Gees.
Yeah, see,
Donna
I was listening
song.
To the Bee Gees.
Well,
yeah.
The Bee Gees were good, too. You know, I mean, that was
yeah,
pop,
I was, too.
I was watching Grease and Saturday
favorites.
Night Fever, pretending I was going to be a famous actress. Yeah. That was it.
No, you were thinking thoughts with John Travolta, probably.
Okay, so yeah. I was.
Hey, I called you on
his leisure suit.
See, I know.
I just wanted to be Sandy and have him, like, kiss me and smack my butt.
Which one was Sandy? Was that Grease? That was Olivia, huh?
Sandy was Grease,
well, that movie made me want to be an actress.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 3 years old.
So what happened? Well, you're on the radio. They just don't see you, but they can hear you.
Hey, I'm getting there. Okay. One step at a time.
That's right.
Everybody's an actress in this town. You should know that by now.
Yeah.
You've lived here longer than all of us.
Yeah, but there are people who just want to be famous, and then there's actors.
Yeah.
I'm an actor
who
wants to be famous.
I see.
There's a combo. I actually like the craft. I studied it. It's what I do.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Miami. Family's from New York, so I lived a lot in New York as well.
So how did you end up out here?
For acting.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to do TV and film. I did all theater in New York City.
Okay.
I was like, it's time to do television and film.
So she ended up on a
radio.
Reality show.
Oh, the reality, yeah. I've done some short little films and stuff.
Oh, how short?
Ones that you'd never see unless you went online.
Yeah, well, I go online.
The ones she made in her bedroom.
Hey, funny guys.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't gotten there yet.
I'll never forget that video, man, with your friend hiding behind
Shut
the bed.
Up.
You'll have to check that out. Man.
You'll have to give me the URL.
Yeah.
It's okay. At least I'll be able to show that on my True Hollywood Story. Yeah. This is where she came from.
Yeah. So what was it like growing up in the 60s and 70s in LA?
I mean,
you don't remember much?
I've lost a few, but I think I lost more brain cells in the 70s, you know, in the Quaalude days and all that stuff.
I remember those.
Yeah.
The 714s.
Yeah.
Roars. Yeah. Have you ever tried a Quaalude?
No, but can you?
They were like hot in the 70s. Now nobody seems to do them anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
they outlawed the
manufacturing of the active ingredient methaqualen because too many people were killing themselves and getting in car
accidents.
Yeah,
I know a lot of druggies, and I don't think I've known anyone that's done a Quaalude.
No,
it's like
yeah.
everything else that
You're
they do.
You're too young, but they were amazing.
They were amazing. I mean, it's like
or
drinking like
drugs.
2 12-packs.
Well, what do they do? Oh, it's like coke?
They make you numb.
Oh,
well,
numb.
Yeah, but, yeah.
They make you numb.
Makes you forget your life.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to squeeze some girl, and you know, you give her half Quaalude, you take a Quaalude.
Girls love those Quaaludes.
Oh, yeah, and you're going to squeeze this girl, whether she likes you or not. She's going to be like, okay, let's do it.
That's what alcohol does, too.
Well, yeah, but the other ones were for sure things.
Okay.
Alcohol, sometimes, you know, people get tweaked out and weird and stuff.
Okay.
And throw up.
Yeah.
Or pass out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
But it made you want to like touch people and be touched all the time.
Ecstasy.
Yeah,
same thing.
Something. Kinda. Yeah, but you'd get a lot more fucked up than on ecstasy for sure.
Okay.
Well, on Quaaludes.
On Quaaludes. Yeah.
Well,
there was nothing stronger.
Yeah, they were pretty interesting.
It was like animal
tranquilizers. You both have like these gleam in your eyes thinking about these Quaaludes. It's like these smiles. I'm like, I want to try one.
I know. These old farts here, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get into the modern drugs.
That's
Hello,
right.
ecstasy.
So you were part of the drug culture and everything?
Not really. I was sort of a late bloomer. I mean, I did my fair share of whatever. I mean, I never dropped acid or took mescaline or any of those fun, wacky drugs. But
really,
with
all the years touring, you never did acid or anything?
No, that's
I always picture rockers doing that.
I don't
that.
Know. That was more Grateful Dead, Jim. That was more the 60s, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was snorting blow and doing Quaaludes and drinking, smoking pot. That was like the main ones.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So. But then we only had like Colombian and Mexican pot, you know? It was like, it sucked, you know?
Well,
I mean, compared to what we have now.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's got these medical marijuana cards. You go in there and it's like, oh,
oh my God, literally anybody can go in there.
Anybody.
It is so easy to get it.
Yeah.
I just can't afford it.
Yeah, it's a fortune. But they used to have the Thai sticks back then,
yes,
too. I don't know if you remember,
remember those. Yeah.
Sticks, and they'd wrap it around.
Yeah, they'd wrap the pot around it. Sort of like, and they call it Thai stick. Yeah. I don't think it was from Thailand.
No, the funny thing is, all the times I've been to Thailand, I've never seen pot there once in Thailand.
Yeah, it's it's very dangerous, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't need it there. You know, you can just drink.
Yeah,
you
speak
know.
For yourself. I need it everywhere.
You got it.
He needs it in his car, in his bed, in his kitchen.
I used to be like that. I used to wake up and, okay, let's smoke my first joint at by 11, then by 1 I'm smoking my next one. What's on TV? Sanford and Son? Oh, let's smoke a joint.
That's all you want to do.
Oh, it's dinner time, let's smoke a joint. It's going to taste better. So.
Yeah, there you go. I love that kind of lifestyle.
That's pretty cool.
It interferes with my life.
Sounds like you guys got some tanks of laughing gas around here.
We do. We
I'm looking around trying to find them. Yeah. I don't see them.
You'll pick up on the energy eventually. It'll get to you.
That's Monday morning, you know.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, Monday, Shmonday.
So now you said you have a kid? One, two?
No, I got one kid, Zach Lozell. We're named after my buddy, Zach Wild, my little baby brother, Zach Wild, who's been sort of sick lately, but I think he's doing okay now, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got my son. I was with him yesterday. He's great.
Yeah, that's cool. How old is he?
He's 13.
13?
So,
wow,
like,
so you're still banging out, banging out those kids at, like,
age. That was a legitimate one with my ex-wife. I mean, if I'm banging any out now, I sure don't know about him, so. But anything's possible. You never know. So.
Yeah.
Is your son all into the music you like?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
As a matter of fact, about two Christmases ago, he's like, hey, Zach, what do you want for Christmas? Hey, Dad, I want to get a guitar. I'm like, oh, no. So, okay, what do you want, Zach? And I'm thinking, you know, he's like, Dad, I want a Les Paul. And I'm thinking in my mind, even if I get an Epiphone Les Paul, it's going to be about $500. So I'm thinking Mexican Strat, $100. So I'm like, hey, Zach, why don't you get a Strat? I go, all my favorite guitar players use Strats. Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, Ritchie Blackmore, Rory Gallagher. So he counters back with, Dad, well, what about Zach Wild and Slash and Jimmy Page?
Uh-huh.
So I went to Guitar Center, got him a $500 Epiphone Les Paul. Then about a month later, I was shooting Zach Wild's Epiphone ads for Epiphone, and he just gave me a Zach Wild Bullseye Epiphone Les Paul, which is pretty cool. So now my kid's got that, and he's got about 5-6 guitars, and one day he's like, Dad, I'm done with guitars. And I got all these guitars. So I figured the one I bought him at Guitar Center, I got Slash to sign it, who's a buddy of mine. I've known Slash since 1983. And I'm going to get Zach to sign it next time I see him. And I figure I'll put it on eBay and I can probably get 5 times as much as I paid for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So. You know, and yeah, I mean, I bought a Stratocaster for my son and now he wants my 1973 Gibson SG. Okay. Now that's a classic,
that's
right?
A nice one.
And so he wants that. I told him, I said, look, that's the only one, the only thing I can still call my own. You know, don't take it away from
away.
Me.
Yeah.
Does he actually play the Strat or does
he plays it. He's very good. He's better than I've ever been. You know, because
okay.
I've always
well,
been
I don't
into
know. Is
like,
that saying anything?
Well, I've always been into rhythm guitar, and he's like a lot into solos and stuff. So he does real well.
Well, that's because
you know,
the rhythm guitarists don't get any chicks. It's all the league.
Yeah, there you go.
Your son sounds like he's smart.
Never thought about it that way, but you're probably right.
I probably
That's
am.
Why I didn't get the chicks playing the bands.
Yeah, you're playing rhythm guitar with your SG, where the guys with the Les Pauls and everything, they're getting all the girls. Jimi Hendrix with his Strat, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I know, that's cool. Do you play the guitar, too?
No.
No, huh?
No.
Wow. Never had the desire to?
Well, when I was a kid, my mother made myself and my sister take piano lessons as a favor to our neighbors who were moving, and the teacher told the neighbors, the neighbor said, look, we're going to be moving, so we can't take the lessons for 2 weeks. And the lady's name, Mrs. Sears, she was like, well, I don't know if I can continue if you stop for 2 weeks. So my mother's like, okay, you know, Beverly and Neil will take them for 2 weeks, you know, so, and Well, that two weeks turned into about 5 years of playing the piano. I hated it. I could not stand
I love that your mom wanted you to take piano. She was like, I want to have a nice, calm son instead of like going on the road with like Motley Crue and all these people. Yeah, drugs, sex, rock and roll. That didn't work, Mom.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? I was always sort of like the bad kid growing up. I'm not really the bad kid. Just my sister was the goody good, and she got the straight A's, and then she went to art center school, you know, college, and you know, I was sort of the guy. I was like C plus, B minuses. So I was always average. But you know, it's funny. All my friends that I went to school with, like when I was in elementary school and stuff, all the ones that were the goody goods, you got the straight A's and stuff. Those are the ones that are tow truck drivers and garbage collectors and sitting on the street corner, you know, pilfering money from people. And it's like the people like me who really weren't good in school, I find those are some of my friends that are the most successful ones, you know, I mean.
Well, those learned how to balance and stuff and have, you know, like be able to be, you know, somewhat decent in school, but then still have like a social life and get to know people where the other ones like overachievers and end up learning nothing about life, you know what I mean?
Exactly, because you could go to school and learn this and learn this. I was going to go to Art Center to become a photographer, but that's only going to teach you the fundamentals. You know, being a photographer, I tell people only 30% is really shooting photos. The rest is I sit at my desk with a headset on, and I'm on the phone all day, and I'm scanning photos, sending them to people, and I'm downloading photos, and I'm, you know, cleaning the toilet, and, you know, everything you can imagine. I'm a one-man dynamo. But, you know, you could go to school and learn things, but it's not necessarily going to help you in the real world. So
that doesn't mean don't go to school, kids.
I'm not saying that, kids. At least, you know, finish high school at least, though.
Education is power.
I mean, my son, he's 13. He still doesn't know what he wants to do. So I'm like, Zach, I know. You could either take over my business and be a multimillionaire, or
I'll take over your business.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you want to do, Zach. You want to stand on the street corner flipping one of those condo signs with the arrow on it upside down and doing the little dance. Let's see, Zach. Flipping condo signs or taking over my business, not having to go to college and becoming a multimillionaire. So.
Yeah.
They have some good routines, some of those condo flippers.
I saw one yesterday, and I pointed out to my kid. I'm like, Zach, see that guy? Yeah, that's you on the corner. Let's see. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you definitely, other than the Motley Crue, you've written several other books published several other books.
Actually, you're sort of right because, you know, my books that I did a Van Halen book, which was my very first book, and it probably didn't hurt that it came out right around the time the original band got back together with David Lee Roth, you know, 25 years later.
Right.
So that was my first book, and that did incredibly well. And then I did my famous Fuck You book, which is a collection of all the rock stars I've shot. Just, you know, when I'm doing shoots, as you can probably tell, I got a big mouth. So, you know, I'm like, come on, Slash, give me some attitude. Look in the lens. You ate my fucking guts. And they're like, yeah, fuck you, Zlo. So it's like basically a collection of everybody I've shot over the years flip me the finger. And
that's
not because I told them to. It just they get so tongue-tied, flabbergasted to deal with me that they don't have anywhere else to go except flip me the finger. That's their escape from reality when I'm working with them. So,
yeah. So you got a lot of pictures like that in the book?
Oh, there's tons.
Really?
I love that.
It starts off with Steven Tyler in 1975 on stage, flip me the finger, and then you know, it goes to Joan Jett, Nikki Sixx, and Tommy Lee, and Bret Michaels, and Slash, and Zakk Wylde, and you know, there's photos from Japan in there with bands I've been to, and there's photos on stage and backstage and in the dressing room and in my studio. It's a pretty interesting collection. There's also some quote-unquote scantily clad girls in there, which I like. So there's a little bit of everything.
So you inspire people to say, fuck you.
I guess.
Everyone can inspire.
Yeah, I guess that's what I do best, inspire.
But it's amazing that you titled the book that way. I mean, I'm sure some stores won't carry it, right?
Well, it's funny. Some stores won't carry it. And I think this is probably, like with all my other books, I do radio interviews. But this is actually the first radio interview I've been able to even mention that book on the air.
Right.
So my book company, Chronicle Books, who I love, you know, they set me up interviews for my Van Halen book and for my Motley Crue book for, you know, what are you going to do with the Fuck You book? You can't really talk about it. And I imagine there's a couple bookstores that don't carry it either, but, you know.
All the best station to come on here.
Yeah,
yeah, well, yeah, get a little preview or a little.
Are you kidding me? I get to talk about cock all day long. I don't have a better job or a better place to be.
Oh, you filthy little girl.
She is.
Whore.
She's
filthy
a whore.
Whore.
Yeah.
Why am I smiling so big?
I don't know. You love it.
That's okay.
Well, we're going to take a short break. Sherry, are you going to do your thing after we come back?
Sure, okay. My thing.
Yeah, sharing with Sherry.
That love sounds that. So excited by it.
No, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real with 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
I've been trying to find a situation to straighten out my life, 'cause in every part that I've been playing, something isn't right. Cause if what you do is a good feeling, working from your soul, and the love you give to the thing you do can only make it grow.
George Takei here. You know, in honor of Sherry joining the morning show, I've been working on a new trick, Sam. I think you'll love it. I've been juggling three balls in one hand while shoving a massive cock in my mouth. It sounds something like this. Oh my. And now let's get back to my favorite morning show on the internet, or radio for that matter. It's Sam and Sherry in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only here will you hear about sucking cocks so early in the morning.
I feel so proud to be part of the show.
Uh-oh.
Where have I gone?
Yeah. So for those just joining us, we have Neil Zlozauer. I keep butchering that name.
It's like pretty easy to butcher.
Yeah.
Neil Z.
Zlozauer. So that's a Jewish name, right?
I guess Polish, Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Pretty Polish.
Yeah.
It does. For Polish sounds like. At first I thought it was German, though.
That's what I thought it was when I was a kid. I thought Zlozauer always sounded German, more German than anything.
Because it's just so hard. Zlozauer. All my accents sound the same.
I don't hear Zlozauer.
That's what I think of Germans. I'll kill you. I don't know.
All right. So I wanted to introduce a new feature.
He's thrilled about this.
Yeah. Sherry's going to grace us with all her positiveness.
Grace. He's using that word very sparingly.
So here we go.
Sharing the
Jeez, somebody loves hearing her name.
That's actually my friend who did the video with me, the singer-songwriter. She made that for me. Really? She said, well, if you're going to have your own talk show, I'm going to make you a jingle.
Yeah, and let's just mention your name 100 fucking times.
Her name is Laura Kayer. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, your name 100 times.
Well, duh. It is my show.
It is.
Shares. Well, I mean, that was written for when I have my own show, not yours, Sam. Don't
I
worry.
I see, okay.
I'm not taking it away just yet. But no, it's really one of the reasons why I used to want to be an actress, because I'm like, I have to be famous, you know, and now my real motivation is to be able to get a voice out there and, you know, spread a little love and positivity. And I don't know, I feel like negativity and bad news is like such a disease in this country, and there's so much of it going around that sometimes it's good to just focus on some good things.
I agree.
It's important for me to share that. And I think that what I would like to do every day is have one positive news story that's going on in the world, since we always say everything that's bad in the world, as well as a little positive affirmation every day.
I want to make Sam sit through this. That's going to be hard to
find. Well, today I do it on my Facebook status every day, so I'm just going to read what I put as my Facebook status.
Okay.
So today is by Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Not surprisingly.
I love him.
Yeah.
But this is important. This is
very
true.
Did you check out the book I told you? One of his first books, The Erroneous Zones?
No.
Okay. You thought it was
erogenous.
Yeah. Neil is like, what the hell are you talking about?
All right.
It's
so
like,
this
I'm
is
keeping
one of,
quiet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know.
She's going to make us feel better with her positive.
Every day I'm telling you it works.
Yeah.
Well, it's either that or go around feeling crappy. You want to feel crappy, that's on you. All right. So here we go. Every moment that you spend upset, in despair, in anguish, angry, or hurt because of the behavior of anybody else in your life is a moment in which you've given up control of your life.
Oh, interesting.
See?
Very good. Yeah.
Thank you. But it's very true, because the one thing that I have learned with all the stuff that's happened in my life that I talked about earlier is that I can either spend like forever like lamenting about all the bad things that have happened, or you can find, you know, the goodness in them or the reasons for them. And honestly, like the only thing, you know, people are always constantly waiting for the better job or waiting for money or waiting for this, instead of just being in the now and being in the moment and finding the joy of things all around you. And honestly, the only thing that we do ultimately have control over is like our reactions and our emotions and our feelings about things.
Right.
So why not choose for those feelings to be positive? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you always find out at the end of the day that things always work out in your favor. And you don't really realize it right when it happens, when it seems negative. But always down the line, you always see the lesson in it. You always see why it happened. So why not just remember that and just like let go? Like when I lost that $100, I was with my best friend. And I was like, fuck, what did I do with that $100? And I was like, oh, well. And she said, oh, my God, I'd be crying right now. And I was like, well, I could do that, but it's really not going to bring me the money back.
Yeah.
And you know what happened?
What?
Last night at work, someone left me a tip threefold of that out of nowhere.
What?
And so the day that I lost
$300?
Yes.
And the day Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow, you need to marry this guy.
But what I'm saying is the day that I lost the 100, obviously, it was just going to go in my bank that day. Mm-hmm. But obviously someone else in the world and the universe needed it more than I did. And right now I missed my car payment because I'm an idiot and forgot about it. And that's my exact car payment.
Wow.
Uh-huh, and I got it last night. And
that is amazing.
But things like this always happen. You just have to be aware of it and have your eyes open to it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that, Neil?
you know what? I'm into my Buddhist philosophies in my old days. And one thing I learned, no matter how tragic some situation or some you know, whatever may seem, if you really look at it hard enough from every single angle, you could always find something good that came out of this terrible, pathetic, you know, tragic situation, which is actually sort of true if you really look at it. So I've had a few bad things happen to me, and if you look at it, actually good things have come from the
bad. Well, it all depends on your viewpoint and what good and what bad is, you know, instead of just like accepting what things are and being open to it and knowing that it's always going to be exactly as it should be, you know. And people are always thinking that life, like, I have to have this or I have to have that. Well, what happens if you never get that? Does that mean you're always going to be miserable? Right. I think the most important thing is about being in the moment and finding the joy of every moment, of sitting here with each other, of smiling, of, you know, getting in your car. And I mean, I saw new palm trees this morning that I never saw on my drive. I know it sounds corny, but, you know, that's all we have is the present, you know, and everything that happened in your past and happened to me and happened to you, like, why even like think about that? It doesn't even exist anymore. All it is right
That's
now.
That's true. Yeah,
you know?
It's just memories.
I have this magnet, and it's hard. First, let me tell you, I know it's hard because a lot of people have been through stuff, and it's something that I had to work on every day. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just easy to always feel this way. It was like fake it till you make it, you know. But I have this on my mirror, and my best friend got it for me, and it says, "Happiness is being Sherry."
Oh, that's good.
But I mean, but that's how we all should be. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's important.
We should all be like Sherry.
Hot and
you know
Lori.
How many times we mentioned her name already this morning?
That's okay.
See, I've manifested
that. Famous.
But I'm just saying. So
it's good to love yourself, though.
Yeah. You should. It took me many years to get there, though. So, of course, I'm proud of it now.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to do my one positive news story, and then we can go on to hating your life.
No, this is nice.
No,
go ahead.
Did you guys hear about the man in Bronx who went into the burning building and got the boy, saved the young boy's life?
Oh, yeah, I saw it on the news. It's pretty good.
But it's not all over the news. It was like one little news story, and then they constantly like barrage it with everything else that's bad. It was this man in the Bronx was in his store, and he saw fire coming out from a building, and he got his own ladder, ran up the fire escape, and saved another man. And then they gave him a boy. He broke the window, and then the fireman was already in there and handed him the boy, and he brought him down to safety and everything. Come to find out that when he was a kid, he saved his sister's life from a fire, and their dad died in the fire. But this is the second time in his life.
So I'm just saying,
like, just like an average citizen who doesn't think about their own safety, who just cares about one another and goes and saves somebody's life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
These things happen all the time, but we don't ever bring attention to them, you know?
Usually the news is full of tragedies and atrocities. And
there's plenty of that, but there's also plenty of goodness out there.
She's here to change that.
Good.
Well, it's important. Someone should, you know? So.
Glad someone is.
Yeah. So there's Sharing with Sherry, brought to you by Sherry. Thanks for letting me have that moment. And this will be the time every day. If you need to tune out, tune out.
No, it's cool. I think it really is. You know, I mean, it makes you look at things differently, I suppose. Especially for me.
No, but I've seen it happen. Like I told you the other day on Facebook, like I used to have really negative friends, and then I got off of it for a month and a half, and then my friend emailed me and he said, I started posting some of the stuff that you used to go on, and now I'm seeing all these people putting positive quotes on there instead of just like, fuck today, I hate Mondays, da 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 da.
Cool.
You know?
So you're changing the world one person at a time.
One smile at a time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys seem pretty happy, I got to tell you.
Were you always this laughy, Sam?
Yeah, no.
No, say no.
Not until you got on the show.
It's Sherry, definitely.
Sounds like I'm such an egomaniac, and I'm really not.
You are.
No,
megalomaniac.
Shut up. All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So you've made friends with some of these rockers and stuff, obviously, you know, being around them and all that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know pretty much everybody you can imagine.
That's pretty cool. You know, do you get invited to parties and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't go to too many parties because I like to drink and I don't want to drink and drive home and get another DUI like I got in 2005. But yeah,
taxi.
We aren't in New York. We're in Los Angeles, or we aren't in Thailand either, where the taxis are cheap. But I like driving, you know. Yeah. So that's one of my weaknesses. I love driving, and sometimes I like to drive fast and so on. But, you know, believe it or not, most of these rockers, it's not like wild, crazy parties like Slash isn't sitting there every week having a crazy party or,
because they're all partied out. They've done it for
years. Amazing. He's still alive. And, you know, I think the last rockers party I was at was actually Nikki Sixx's 50th birthday party. He had it up in Hollywood.
That sounds like a snooze fest.
That was a pretty interesting party, to say the least. So.
Yeah. I want to know how old you were when you first went on tour and what that was like at that age, like to first go on tour with a rock band.
You know what? That's a lot of brain cells to go. But it seems like maybe it was Ted Nugent back in 75 or whatever. I mean, in 78, I probably did a whole bunch of dates with Van Halen. Uh-huh. But
how old are you?
How old am I now?
No, then.
Oh.
I won't try to figure it out. My brain's done right now.
75, 54, 64, 70. I was 21 years old.
See, perfect. Imagine 21 years old and going out on tour.
I mean, I'd only go out for a few days. Still. I mean, you never go out. Being a photographer, you never need to go out for 365 days a year. There's no purpose in all those live photos. So, you know, I go out. I mean, probably the most I'd go out was maybe a week with Van Halen in the United States, usually Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. I just picture, what's that movie? Almost Famous? The young kid and just like getting all kinds of fucked up and like, you know.
Well, it's funny because Cameron Crowe, the guy who wrote that movie, he was friends with two of the photographers I used to work with in like 76, 77. So we used to hang with Cameron. We'd drive down to San Diego and go shoot concerts down there. And Cameron lived down in San Diego. He was about 14 years old and he was writing for Rolling Stone back then. So we'd always hang with Cameron. I mean, back then, that was before he married Nancy Wilson from Heart. And, but I guess he's done a lot of great movies.
Yeah, he has.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, that was his first. That's an all-time classic.
Yeah.
But I never saw Almost Famous, to be honest.
Oh, it's such a great movie. Check it out.
If you want to remember the 70s and that, it's pretty cool.
And you probably would really enjoy it because it's about the whole lifestyle and stuff.
Yeah, I probably would enjoy
it. Check it out.
I mean, the movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg, that was another one, which actually I had an appearance, a talking role in that movie.
Did you?
Yeah, I played.
It's always the non-actors that get roles. Damn it!
Well, I played myself.
And I'm sitting here with Sam.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know,
I love it.
So, but that was another interesting rock and roll movie. Probably more. That was more about the 80s, though. I think Almost Famous was more about the 70s. So. Yeah.
See, I relate to Boogie Nights.
Yeah. She's thinking Mark Wahlberg, right?
I'm thinking porn.
Yeah. That's okay. Mark does a little everything, I guess. So.
Yeah, he's a pretty good actor, though.
Yeah, he is.
He's good.
Yeah.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Who would have thought he would have been a really good actor?
I know. He was a rapper.
And his brother was in New Kids on the Block.
I know.
Oh, really? I didn't realize his brother was
Donnie Wahlberg? Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Did you remember Sixth Sense? Do you know who Donnie Wahlberg is?
Yes.
No? Yeah. He was. Do you remember Sixth Sense?
The movie?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. He was in that.
Oh, really?
He was that skinny guy in the beginning that the drug. Did he get killed? Did he shot? I forgot. Good story. he was in it, though, and he's done some acting roles. I can't remember what else he's done, but they're brothers.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Wow, New Kids I followed around.
You did?
Yeah, they were my teenage, you know, idol group. Yeah, my heart throbs. Jordan Knight was.
Yeah.
But I just saw them at the Greek Theater.
Really?
Yeah, they came back a reunion tour.
Was it the original band?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Donnie Wahlberg was closer than you are. He was like right here to me.
Uh-oh.
I had a Boston shirt on, and I kept trying to get him to look at it, but all I could care about was like taking all the girls' beers.
Yeah.
Well, how old were the girls at the comeback tour?
It was my age, which are mid-30s, and then it was all really young girls, so they had like a huge...
It was?
You know, yeah. They had people that like their new music, which is okay, and then people all my age.
Yeah.
But they were all dressed in the 80s, though. It was very funny. Late 80s, early 90s clothes. I was just laughing. Well, it brought back lots of memories.
Well, the 80s were good. I mean, the girls looked good in the 80s, but then grunge came in, and girls were starting to wear potato sacks.
And flannels and all that, yeah.
It's like, let's see how ugly I can look. So, the grunge period. The girls,
I'm like a lumberjack.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was not a good time for fashion, I suppose.
No, I was glad I was an 80s girl.
Yeah. 80s were great.
Yeah.
Now, Neil, when you were taking all these photos and everything, did you know you were going to put them all together in a book?
No idea. You know, you know, a lot of friends of mine, they do these photo books, and like, here's a Led Zeppelin photo, and here's a Van Halen, here's a Tom Waits, and here's a Keith Richards, but they don't really appeal to anybody. So I always had the idea in the back of my mind, like Kiss does Kistory, which they've had two versions of the book Kistory, and they've, you know, sold millions and millions of copies. You gotta appeal to a certain market. So the Van Halen book I did appeals to the Van Halen market. The Motley Crue appeals to the Motley Crue market. And
right,
the guitar book I'm doing next will appeal to guitarists because there's something in there for everybody. But I didn't just want to do a Niels Losauer photo book with a whole bunch of different people that had nothing to do with each other. So
yeah. And how do you get a book published? Did you have to get an agent and stuff?
Well, originally I got an agent who I loved, who was in New York, and then he hooked me up with VH1 MTV Books, and from day one I couldn't stand dealing with the guy there that I had to deal with. And finally, after about four different versions that my art director came up with VH1 MTV Books, and he just vetoed it, I'm like, you know what, see you guys later, I'm taking a hike, I'm leaving you guys, I'm not doing any books with you guys, I can't stand you. So I was going to print the books myself and sell them one by one. And then my art director, Tom German, he hooked me up with Chronicle Books somehow. I mean, Tom's an amazing person. And this is, you know, I'm on my fourth book with Chronicle now. So they're a fantastic company. They're a real book company, not VH1 MTV Books.
Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
Oh, yeah. I'm holding back, to be honest with you. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to brutalize the guy too bad at VH1 MTV Books, but it was a really pathetic experience dealing with him.
At so. Where?
Once again, VH1 MTV Books, all you people out there.
Yeah, just in case you forgot already.
And we can repeat it again.
So. I love networks.
Yeah. And so, I mean, did you make decent money from all these books?
Yeah. Great. Well, you know what? I have to sell so many. They give me an advance up front, which is pretty nice, I got to tell
you. Did you hear him say to his son, do you want to take over a multi-million dollar business?
Yeah, I remember
business?
That. Yeah. That's why I was asking.
I haven't forgotten it. I'm in the wrong business, Sam.
Yeah.
They're
looking for the wrong guys.
Well, the best thing about what I do is, like, I've been shooting so long that a lot of what I do is selling old Led Zeppelin and old Rat and old Poison and old Motley Crue and old Van Halen. Like, no one wants new pictures of The Who, and no one wants really new pictures of Motley Crue. Everybody wants the old vintage classic stuff.
Right.
I mean, some of those bands have not aged too well, especially some of the English bands I see. So.
Yeah.
But, you know,
does Bret Michaels have hair under that bandana?
no comment. Only a very few special people know. I haven't worked with Bret for ages. We had our problems, and I had to end up taking him to court. So.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So he's not a friend.
You know what? I have no hard feelings against, you know, Brett. I mean, you know, I started working with Poison in 86 before anybody knew who they were, and they were on Enigma Records back then, and, you know, that was before they even had a tour bus. We were touring in a motorhome, which most bands don't do, but, you know, Ricky's an English motorcycle friend of mine, and CeCe's great. Love CeCe. I haven't seen Bobby for a while, but Brett just, you know, me and him sort of parted ways, I guess. You know.
I think I saw them when Unskinny Bop was out.
Yeah, I think that was a good album. They were still kicking some butt back then.
Yeah, I went with my ex-boyfriend, and I ended up screaming in the middle of the concert, I want to suck your dick, Bret Michaels! And my boyfriend looked at me, I was like, what? It's Bret Michaels.
Okay.
Now I see him on Rock of Love. I'm like, yeah.
Is that program still on?
He's had three seasons of it.
Oh, my God.
Because he can't find the love of his life. I'm like, well, look at who you're choosing.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Oh, so it's a show about him looking for a wife or something?
Yeah. And so they have all these crazy girls, and they go on tour with him, you know. Then they had Brock of Love on the bus because he couldn't find it, and you know, in LA. So then they took him on tour, and they just do all these crazy challenges to win his heart.
Right, and then Daisy De La Hoya, you know, who was one of the final contestants in 1 year. She spun off and had her own.
Yeah, Daisy of Love.
After Tila Tequila had her program. Uh-huh. So.
Yep. like all spin-offs of each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess was hoping when I did my show that they would have a spin-off of me. But
well, it's never too late.
No, I've learned never to do reality TV again.
Yeah, I don't know about those shows.
Yeah.
She just finished doing one, and nobody knows what show that was.
Well, some of them, I was on the Gretchen Bonaducci one.
Really?
But how many shows did that last? A whole three shows or something?
Oh, she had her own show after Breaking Bonaducci, right? Or is that the show?
I don't know. I was on. They hired me to do some photo shoot with her in a pink coffin at Coffin Cases out in North Hollywood. So I went out there and did my thing when she was with about three or four other young, scantily clad girls in distress and did the photo.
Except she's no spring chicken, though.
She looked pretty good. I like 25-year-old girls and 20-year-old girls.
That's not a spring chicken?
No, she's not 25.
No, she's not, but she was nice, and she looked good, and she was a pleasure to work with. So.
Yeah, that's cool. So you got to meet a lot of famous people, huh?
I guess if that means anything. So I mean, I treat everybody the same. I treat them like I treat you or Sherry or whatever.
You have to, otherwise they don't like it.
Yeah, I like thrashing people, and especially when I'm shooting photos, if they're doing this and they got like 20 chins, I go, dude, you look like shit. You got 20 chins. Do this. Don't do this. And they may at first be a little offended, going, what the guy's telling me? I go, 20 chins, am I fat or whatever? And then when they see the photos when I get done, and their jawbones and cheekbones look great, and then I make them look like a rock star / rock god, then they're like, damn, this guy knows what he's doing. So.
Yeah.
I wait tables on celebrities all the time, and I remember when I first moved to LA, I thought it was going to be so exciting, and then as soon as I did, I was just like, well, you still eat the same, and you actually come out of the bathroom and don't wash your hands. I won't say who you are, famous actress.
Right. I mean, they're no better. No one's any better than anybody else. Sorry, right. We're all human beings.
No, of course
beings,
not. If you think about them sitting on the toilet,
Right.
And they'll equalize everybody.
Exactly.
It's
just a job.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what's going on now in your life? Do you have a significant other?
I got a girlfriend now that I hang with, and a couple other ones here and there that I hang with, and always looking for a couple more to hang with.
Men never get enough, huh?
I guess not. Well, I was already married to my fantasy girl who turned into my nightmare girl, but
see, they always do. They're always perfect at first, then you're like, why did I do that?
Well, one thing you got to remember, everything changes, nothing stays the same. So if it's good, it's not always going to be good, and if it's bad, it's not always going to be bad. But
well, that's why when you make a commitment and choose to work on it.
I do my commitment, so
to this one and then that one over there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's easy to say we'll work on it, but it's a whole different game when you have to do it,
you mean you have to actually have to work at something.
Yeah, exactly.
Most people are selfish and, put them before others. So sometimes it's difficult when two human beings have to interact with each other. And, it's not all fun and game. As a matter of fact, life is full of adversities. It's not just wake up and every day is going to be fun and games. I mean, there's a lot of problems that arise in lifetimes, and you just got to be able to cope with them and have a good mental outlook, just like the book you were reading.
Right.
That was very brilliant.
So you say problems, I say chances for opportunity.
Right.
To learn.
Exactly.
It's all the way you look at things. Obstacles or opportunities.
That's right. Life's one big learning process. How you look at things,
Exactly. Because why can one person see such like beauty in the world and someone else just sees like hatred and anger, and they're both living in the same world?
That's true. I was just going to ask you, so many people getting divorced, do you still want to get married?
Yeah, I'll just marry the right person at the right time.
Yeah, how will you know?
Because
I'm not going into it looking for somebody to, complete the other part of me. I'm looking to share my completeness with someone.
I see. Well, share with Sherry.
Sharing with Sherry. I dreamt about that song. That and Real American Heroes. Keep kicking everything. I'm just kicking around.
Are you?
Yes. Kicking it. Kicking it with Neil and Sam.
I just got a big smile on my face listening to you guys.
See,
going.
I told you eventually it would kick in the smile.
I don't know if the smile's kicking in or the coffee's kicking in. So.
Whatever it is, it's a smile.
Yeah. So, are you still, in the drug culture and stuff, or have you outgrown that?
Oh, there's a time and a place for everything. I won't necessarily comment on that, but I like to have fun and enjoy myself.
Can you invite me to the next party, please?
Yeah. you missed the one last night, but...
Oh, great.
That was just me, myself, and I. And my,
okay.
I probably wouldn't have shown
so
up
So you
today.
Didn't miss much.
No.
That's cool. So what's next for you as far as photography, books?
Well, my next book's going to be a Guitar Heroes book. I think it's called Six String Heroes, and it's a collection of all the guitarists I've shot over my lifetime, which is probably... You know what? I think everybody's in. There's only two people that aren't in that book that I think need to be in that book. One's Jimi Hendrix, who I saw four times, but was, you know, before my photography career started. And the other one was Stevie Ray Vaughan, who I actually never saw or never shot photos of. Somehow I just missed that whole Stevie Ray boat. But, you know, there's Slash, Zakk Wylde, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, Ritchie Blackmore. One of my favorite guitarists, Allison from the Donnas, who's a great band. I mean, everybody's in this book. B.B. King, Johnny Guitar Watson, Steve Lukather, Eddie Van Halen. Everybody's in this book.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Do you feel like you have the technical skill? Like, was it something you just always saw through, like, the camera when you first looked through it? Like, was it just, like, a natural thing, or did you work at it? You know what I mean? Like,
you know, you have to work at everything. But my sort of philosophy is anything you want to do good... If you really put your mind to it, you can learn. I mean, you know, you don't have to go to school other than being like a doctor or a brain surgeon or maybe even a lawyer. But I always wanted to be a great photographer. Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, I bought photography books and studied about different films and lenses. And by doing this, it'll do this and so on and so forth. Or even, you know, when I was younger, I always was into cars and motorcycles, even though I never had auto shop in high school. But I do pretty much all the work on all my cars I own and all my motorcycles, and, you know, I love cooking, so I never went to cooking school, but I make some pretty exotic dishes at home and so
just
on.
About following your passion. They always say money follows passion.
Right.
You know?
If you want to do it bad enough, especially with the internet these days, there's so much information on anything, whether you want to, you know, be a photographer, whether you want to be a chef, or, you know, you want to work on cars, whatever you want to do, you know.
Right.
Very cool. Yeah, because when I take pictures, like, sometimes I don't think I'm a good photographer, but sometimes I'll have some amazing pictures, but it's always in that moment I'll be like, I look at something, I'm like, I need a picture of that, and it's just because you're inspired, you know, and it ends up turning out to be an amazing picture.
Yeah, but I bet you have your camera set on automatic and just push the button, and you don't know what shutter speeds are.
Whatever, I bet you're still an amazing picture.
Yeah, okay. Well,
you're
that's
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this day and age, I mean, the cameras are so foolproof. You just, you know, when I use my camera still to this day, everything's manual, so I have to actually think to get a photo, but the cameras are so good these days that you could just put it on automatic, and, you know, a lot of quote-unquote novices who really don't know what they're doing, all they have to do is look through and push the button.
But that's not true. You have to have, you know, if you're taking, like, a scenery, the tree, you know, there should be, like, certain
like
angles.
Framing the picture.
You know, the tree should be, you know, there. There's certain little things,
well,
I think.
One thing I like is when I see pictures that people do and there's people in the photo, and then you got a tree behind them and it's growing right out of the person's head. So, you know, there's quite a bit of things to look at in photography.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, because as an actress, when someone else is just like, oh, I can act, or even as a waitress, oh, I can wait tables. I'm like, whatever, I worked for it in years, you know, so I understand.
Yeah. And I view photographers as artists, you know, I mean, it's almost like painting on canvas, because the picture is not the subjects in the picture, but it's about you.
Right.
Right? Because you're the one, you're like the director. You
because you'll see it different than we'll see it.
Yeah.
Everyone sees something differently.
Well, you know, when I started shooting photos, I was shooting concerts, but you have no say on what you're doing. You're just there sort of documenting what's going on. But most of the photo shoots I do now are in my studio, where I have total control and I can light it. And, you know, I have 10, 20 different types of lighting at my studio, and I could verbally tell the person what I'm looking for, and we could try to work together and work out a great photo. So, yeah, I have control now. But, you know, you go to a live show, whether it's at the, you know, the Forum or Staples Centers or the Avalon in Hollywood, and you're just sort of documenting, you know, though you got to deal with the lighting that's there, and you have to shoot from a little skinny pit with a whole bunch of big overgrown bouncers in there and so on. So.
But photographers have a lot of say, like, in photo shoots as far as, like, what you're going to get out of your subject, because being an actor and doing, like, so many headshot sessions, I've had photographers where I don't feel inspired, and others that are just getting so much out of me, you know?
Well, some photographers are just, you know, the subject gets on the backdrop, I see it, and it just click, 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 and they don't give any direction or guidance to the people. And like I said, I got a big mouth, so I'm constantly
you got people telling you fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's good. So I'm trying to, like, squeeze every bit of attitude and emotion out of my subject. So hopefully when you look at a Niels Losauer photo, you look at the person and go, I mean, in the 80s, I used to have my little speech for the bands, you know, before I'd shoot them. So, you know, we get them on the backdrop. I'm like, okay, guys, your record just went double platinum. You're doing two sold-out shows in the Forum. You got 20 bitches that want to suck your dick after the show. Give me some fucking attitude. You know? And then they get up there with their look at you. Ah, I'm cool and cross the arms like I'm tough.
That's why all those pictures look that way.
Yeah. If you look at the cover of the Motley book, they're sort of like that too. They're looking at me like, yeah, we're cool. We're rock stars. We're going to get laid. We're going to make lots of money, do lots of drugs, so on and so forth. So.
Yeah.
It's a tough life. Yeah. Make lots of money, do drugs, and fuck. Yeah,
someone's got to do it. Yeah. You know, Tommy's never been with any hot chicks, right?
Right, yeah. So. I mean, this guy, you know. Do you have any desire to see his appendage?
I mean, I saw it, but I didn't have a desire. I just wanted to see what the big hubbub was about.
Yeah, we spoke
and
about
that. And
it
wasn't even that hot.
Yeah, we spoke about that, I think, in the last phone interview.
Right.
That was pretty tame for me.
Was not turned on by that at all.
Nah, yeah. And Pamela doesn't do much for me, actually. So.
Yeah. Did you ever get to meet her?
You know what? Not when she was hanging with Tommy, but I went to one of my kids' birthday parties for a friend once at one of these, you know, indoor places with slides and all, you know, all this, like, fun kiddie stuff. And she was there, and she was just sort of dressed like a normal person, not all made up. And it's like, you know, not my cup of tea, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, compared to other women, I don't think she's that beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, she's striking, you know, striking looking and stuff. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, there's so many more beautiful women out there, you know?
You know what? Go to Thailand.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like...
I don't know. I wanted to go now. I feel like all I'm going to do is get fucked by Thai, Thai women.
By Thai girls? Well, you could do worse. You could get fucked by Thai guys.
But you're probably still feel like a girl.
I mean, the first time I went to Thailand, my friend said, hey, Neil, you're going to like it there. Why? He's like, the girls are going to love you there. I'm like, why? He goes, they don't like Thai guys. I'm like, what do you mean they don't like Thai guys? Why? He goes... You know what? I can't explain it. You're going to, you know, you're going to see when you go there, the Thai girls just don't like Thai guys. So I go to Thailand, and if you go to the hotels or the banks, like all the important jobs are all filled by the Thai women, and the Thai guys are all standing on the street, scratching their balls, picking their nose. They aren't working. It's like the Thai girls run Thailand.
They're not scratching their balls. They're trying to figure out where their dicks went.
Well, yeah. Well, they're rolling this
That's
big.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Asian.
It's another reason I guess the Thai girls don't like Thai
That's
guys.
What I was going to say. They're like, white men, yes.
Yeah, why not stereotype everybody, right?
Hey, I learned that my first day being here.
Really?
Okay, but I'm not a big fan of, you know, American white girls. Are like Asians and Latinas.
Yeah.
And
so. Why do you think that is?
Because they're more exotic and they don't have the same...
More subservient too?
I don't know about that. I mean, you know, Latina girls are sort of like balls of fire, you know.
Yeah. And
you like feisty women.
Yeah, my girlfriend now, she's Latina. She's great. And, but she's a Buddhist, so that's why we get along good. But
You know, how did you get into Buddha in that?
From my girlfriend in Thailand, who I met on my first trip and fell in love with and broke my heart.
Really?
Yeah, I got her name tattooed on my leg.
That's always the end, right? When you get someone
tattooed.
Well,
that was my first tattoo. I mean, I hang out with crazy people like... You know, the Motley guys and people with tattoos all over their body. And I waited till I was about 48, 49 to get my first tattoo. And, of course, it was my girlfriend in Thailand. Its name, Konakwan. But, you know, you can barely read it. So I was just at the doctor.
No one would know that someone's name. It sounds like some other,
I was just at a doctor last week, and he saw it, you know, and he was like, hey, Neil, what does that say? It says Konakwan. He goes, what does that mean? I go, it means... Dumb, stupid, fucking jerk, moron in Thai.
So, that's a good story in itself.
Yeah, but you know what? I met this chick and fell deeply, madly in love with her, and she broke my heart.
Aww.
Yeah.
How long were you with her?
2 days.
Actually, 2 years on and off. And I actually went to an immigration lawyer here and got her fiancé visas because I planned on marrying her again in my... ex-wife cost me about $350,000 when I got divorced from her. So after that, for me to even mention the M word, I'm either a sick, fucking, crazy-ass lunatic or else I was totally in love with this chick.
Yeah, obviously.
Wow. I think it was a little of each now that I think about it. But you know. So anyway, she got me, you know, one day I woke up, I think it was the day after my birthday, we were in the hotel in Bangkok, and... I was sort of hurting, and I opened up the little drawer next to the bed, and you know, we'd be walking down the streets, and in Thailand they have Buddhist statues everywhere, and my girlfriend would sort of do the little hands together and bow, and you know, I'd sort of make a little fun of her, thinking, oh yeah, this is really stupid, you know. And then, so I opened up the little drawer next to the bed one day, and I'm like, if you go to a hotel room in America next to the bed, they're gonna have the Bibles, which I never read in my life because it doesn't really mean much to me. But then I opened the drawer there, and they had a book. It was called What Buddha Taught. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's see what Buddha's going to teach me. So I started reading about the first three or four pages, and I was like, wow, this is really good. Mm-hmm. This is sort of like my philosophies on the world and a judgment maker that's supposedly floating overhead, watching over everybody, which I really never believed in anyway. So the Buddha book actually sort of struck me, and then when I came back to America, I actually found that book and bought it instead of stealing it out of the room in Thailand, and, which wouldn't be very Buddhist, you know. But so anyway, so I'm sort of into my Buddhist stuff these days. It's, I think, it's the best. I won't call it a religion, but it's sort of a philosophy of life. So that's
right. I mean, does it involve any rituals or anything?
Well,
do you chant?
No, I don't chant and I don't really meditate, but you know, it's like, you know, basically things like be a compassionate human being, put you know, other people before you. But basically it's, you know, revolves around the Four Noble Truths, which says basically it all has to do with suffering. There is suffering, you will suffer, but you have to know how to think about the suffering, like you were getting back and earlier, Sherry, talking about sort of desire and wanting things like, I want this new car, or I want these shoes, or I want to go to Hawaii. And once you get that, great, you're happy for a month or so, but then you want something else. So you desire is one of the most, you know, one of the most prominent forms of making someone miserable. So you just got to be happy with what you have and appreciate what you have, and so on and so forth. So
maybe we'll give you your own positive quarter here on the show.
Maybe, you never know. I've read enough Buddha books, that's for sure.
I went out with a Buddhist on a couple of dates, and he took me to some Buddhist meetings, and I was chanting with him and everything. It was kind of cool, yeah, but there was the whole suffering part. I just
well, you know what?
I mean, I got it, and I understand like where it's coming from and stuff, but that's why I'm saying I take like little, you know, parts about them being compassionate and things like that, and some of the noble truths, you know.
Exactly, you know, so it's good. I go to this Thai temple out in North Hollywood, Wat Thai Temple, on Sundays. I try to go there and go in front of Buddha for about 5 minutes and then go eat the food there and look for hot Thai chicks.
So really it's just a dating market for you, Buddhism.
there's really no hot Thai chicks there when I go, but I've seen one or two.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So why don't you move to Thailand? I mean, obviously you like it a lot.
I love it there. I got my heart broken there. I haven't been back since 2005, but my friends want me to go next April because that's Thai New Year's and it's sick over there. It's called Sakoron Festival, and it's like about 2 million degrees hot there, and you walk down the street and everybody's got super soakers, and you walk down the street and kids are just shooting you with super soakers, and people come up to you with buckets of ice water and just dump them on your head, total strangers and stuff. So I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to go there in April or not. I mean, I've been there
maybe
5 times.
Maybe it's healing time. Maybe it's time to go back.
Maybe. I went to Bali, you know, Indonesia after a year after, met some girl on MySpace and went and hooked up with her there in Bali. But
it's a long way to go for a date.
Well, Thailand's not exactly around the block. It only takes about 18 hours.
I know, but you said like off of MySpace to meet somebody. I'm like, usually I meet them, you know.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
I meet them at a bar in Hollywood.
I don't know, you know. Thailand. I used to live next door to this great bar and they closed down, but I used to meet quite a few people there. It was a good one, Dolce.
Yeah, right by my house.
Yeah, right by our house, so.
Yes.
But when you go to a bar to meet people, I mean, you're meeting drunks, right?
Oh, maybe. It depends on if you get them before or after they've had a few drinks.
But you
drinks.
Can't always say that, though, because they're like, you can't meet a good guy at a bar. Like, I'm like, why not? I'm a good girl. I go to a bar. Yeah. Or they say, oh, meet someone at school or the library or the grocery store. I'm like, that same person that I meet at the grocery store is probably going to meet a bar later at night. Like, you never know anything about anybody. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, my dad used to be like, I don't feel safe with you meeting guys on the internet. And I'm like, why? The same person that I could meet at the store that you're telling me to, I don't know what he tells me about him is true. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's about just like having a good judge of character and, you know, trusting your instincts and all that.
Yeah. Except when you don't see them in the beginning. I mean, you know, you can imagine that they're this great person and everything, you know, and then you meet them and they're not like that at all.
Right. Well, the only problem I had with internet dating is they were really great communicators, like through email and stuff. And then when you got in person, they didn't have a word to say.
Really?
And I wanted to be like, maybe we should take our laptops out and talk that way, because you obviously have social skill problems.
Well, what I'm finding out is, like, you know, a lot of people I deal with on a business world, they can't even pick up a phone and talk to you anymore on a phone. It's email back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
It's like,
text,
how much do you charge for a photo shoot? And then I'm like, call me, because I don't want to go into, well, if you use this for this, it's this. I mean, I could get on the phone in 3 minutes. I could tell someone what it would take me 20 minutes to type in a email conversation.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm guilty of that.
Are you?
Well, I used to. Well, no, I
you're
admit
a,
it.
You're a texter,
I am
right?
a texter. I have unlimited texts, and when I get my bill, there's like 3,000 texts that I've done, incoming and outgoing for the month. Wow. I used to love being on the phone, but I talk so much in my daily life that I'm like, do I really need to talk more on the phone?
And besides, on the phone, it's like you got to spend a lot of time there on the phone.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, what happens to their
I know,
you?
Sometimes I don't want to talk.
Yeah, but on the phone, you could hear someone's emotion, and you could sort of, at least
when
I can.
It's an important conversation, you should. But I do think you do have to follow the rule that if someone calls you, you don't text them back, you call them back, and if someone texts you don't call them back, you text.
Right.
Okay.
You know, I do follow that rule.
Do you?
Yeah.
So that's the etiquette.
That's my etiquette.
Well, I got a good story. I was just in Mazatlan with my son and a whole bunch of my friends, and I didn't see this, but my ex-wife calls me up. She goes, Neil, I just got the phone bill for Zach's phone for the month. I go, yeah, so big deal. She goes, well, you guys were in Mexico. He was obviously using it. I'm like, how much is the bill? $2,600.
What?
So he didn't talk at all, and I didn't see him on the phone once, but I hear him and my friend's daughter. They were like, she was on Facebook the whole time, and he was playing video games on his iPhone, and I'm like, so the bill was $2,600.
Jesus, man.
Wow. Yeah, thank God I have like an unlimited plan, because I'm like every second on Facebook on my phone.
Well, that'll work here in the U.S., but those unlimited plans, even in Mexico or wherever you're going to go, they aren't as unlimited as you think they are.
Yeah.
So.
Crazy.
Well, okay, folks, we are out of time. Neil, thank you so much for joining us, man. You're a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me, folks.
Absolutely. And go ahead and plug your book again.
Oh, it's Motley Crue, Visual History, 1983 to 2005 by Neil Zlozauer.
An amazing book, great pictures.
And the new one coming out too, right?
Yeah, I got a Guitar Heroes book. I think it's called Six String Heroes. That actually, I believe, is shipping today. Makes a great Christmas gift. So
wonderful. Well, help Neil pay off his phone bills and everything.
Yeah, my alimony bills.
His alimony and child support and all that stuff.
Anyway, thanks for having me.
Okay, of course, man. Congratulations on the book and everything. And don't forget his book, Fuck You, also.
And if you want to go to my website, it's www.zloz.com. Make sure you have some time, because there's a lot of stuff up there to look at.
So.
That's awesome. We'll check it out for sure.
Cool.
Okay, Sherry.
Always a pleasure.
For all the positivity.
You got it. Anytime.
And we'll see you all here tomorrow.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the Morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.